Welcome, everyone, to Wise Talk. This is Mariposa's Monthly Leadership Forum. Today, we're excited to have Jennifer Konweiler. Jennifer is an author, executive coach, and global speaker hailed as a champion for introverts. She has deepened her knowledge and appreciation for introverts through her work as a learning and development professional and speaker at leading organizations like GE, Freddie Mac, NASA, Turner Broadcasting, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Her best-selling books, The Introverted Leader, The Genius of Opposites, and Quiet Influence, have helped introverts throughout the world expand their leadership capacity. Her latest book, The Introverted Leader, Building on Your Quiet Strength, lays out a well-tested four-step strategy introverts can use to build on their quiet strength and make a source of great power. Jennifer received her PhD in Counseling and Organizational Development from Florida State and her earlier degrees in Sociology and Counseling from WashU in St. Louis. She also served on the boards of Barrett Kohler Authors, the BK Global Task Force, the National Speakers Association of Georgia, as a mentor to many professional women. She calls Atlanta, Georgia, her home, and that's where she is right now. You can find her on Twitter at Jen, that's J-E-N-N, Konweiler, it's K-A-H-N-W-E-I-L-E-R, and her website is the same name, jenniferkonweiler.com. So Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Sue, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to be talking to you across the country.
Yeah, on a Friday here.
Yeah, so, Friday, winding down things here on the East Coast, that's fine with me.
Yeah, so wanted to find a little bit about your book. I know is this the second or third edition?
The Introverted Leader, Sue, just came out, the second edition. Almost 10 years after the first one, which came out early 2009. So, yeah, we're almost a decade into this subject, which is great.
And tell us a little bit about your journey and why you decided to, write the book in the first place and then revise it. And then I'm going to ask you, what you kind of added to the new edition. So let's start with your journey.
Sure. I'm happy to. Yeah, I actually have been a leadership coach and working in leadership development and career coaching for many years. I come from a counseling background. And as I was working in organizations, I was acutely aware of the fact that introverts, who I fortunately learned about early on in my professional life, having taken the Myers-Briggs perhaps when very few people knew about that as an assessment.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, right. And I found it, you know, as many of us do when we have that first aha experience, wow, they're describing me. So I learned that I was more actually on the extroverted side, but I found it very useful personally to understand my new husband back then, Bill, who was very introverted, and I was very perplexed because I didn't really grow up in a family of introverts and didn't know very many. So I learned about it from him and how to navigate that relationship. And turn a little bit more into acceptance, as I would say, some days better than others. But you know, understanding and being enlightened about that, and then taking those ideas and insights into the workplace as I was doing the coaching, realizing that I kept coming up, particularly in the technology area. I was working a lot with IT and with engineering, and I kept seeing that very, very smart people who had the goods were being passed over, you know, and they were expressing being overlooked and ignored and really misunderstood, mostly by other extroverts, you know. And I was trying to, look for resources to help them and to try to have them realize, you know, really many times futilely, because people didn't believe me, that they could be leaders when they would say, you know, it's kind of a diversity issue. I don't see anybody that looks like me or sounds like me. You know, I'm seeing type A people. And so I turned a long-winded way of saying, when I looked for resources to share with them, I couldn't find any. So I decided to write the book. And so that's how the first book came out, and actually connected with a very successful introverted leader who heads up, Barrett Kohler, who you mentioned in my intro, who is my partner out in Oakland. So they're a publishing company. Yeah, wonderful publishing company out there, as you probably know.
Yes, definitely. They're pretty famous out here. So
good.
So tell us a little bit about how the new edition sort of emerged, and were there things you added to it or shifted at all or did different research, or what's the difference?
Yeah, great. Yeah, great question. I actually had it was a unique opportunity to revise a book. If you know, people that write books will say, I wish I changed this, I wish I didn't write
mm-hmm.
this. I think what mm-hmm. it became through, it was still the basic theme of building on your own strengths. Like the subtitle mm-hmm. is not changing who you are. The actual subtitle says building on your quiet strengths, but I took that much more seriously. And what I was fortunate enough to do was to tap into the reservoir of my readers and many of the people who have, you know, I do speaking, I do a lot of keynotes and training and really take a lot of notes and learned so much more at a deeper level about, you know, that people really were looking for even more scripts and phrases and approaches and strategies. So I enhanced it in answer to your question. And I took out things that really weren't as useful. So in terms of the content, it was much more enhanced, and I also included a lot more examples that were diverse. I had a chance to travel to many countries, so I was able to bring global examples in, as well as focus more on women, you know, women introverts, who is in a whole other discussion, have a quite a double whammy many of the times in being more introverted, but also the gender issue comes in. So I was able to address that. I also redid the quiz to make that much more effective, and I put that on my website, too, so that's if anybody wants to check that out, just see how you're doing, what's working for you, and what isn't. So,
and is that for anybody or just introvert? What self-proclaimed
introvert? It's for everybody. Yeah, it's really for everybody. Because the other thing, too, that's happened, you know, the cool thing is as introverts, you know, when I first wrote the first book, it was, I mean, I was fortunate in the fact that people really, I mean, Susan Cain and has been, her book came out a little bit after this one, and I was focused real on the workplace. So then Quiet came out and her TED Talk, and then it was in the zeitgeist. You know, it was like people were talking about introverts, and to this day now we're seeing such an evolution of people being more aware. You know, people would say to me, I get the deer in the headlights thing. You know, it's like, what do you mean? You can't be a leader and be an introvert. What are you talking about? You know,
Right.
Now it's, you know, the stage is set that people are more, you know, they're much more taking much more ownership. That's one theme that I've been able to incorporate in. The last thing I'll say on that is in terms of changes is that we also realize that introvert more now than ever, like a lot of aspects of personality and diversity, there is a spectrum. So there's, you know, people are realizing that we all have an introverted side within us just as an extroverted side. So it's been cool to tap into that whole body of knowledge.
Well, and then there's, of course, the ambiverts that Dan Pink has talked about as well and how important to have both.
Yes. Yes, and there are many people, and because it is a bell curve, basically, there are many people who consider themselves ambiverts, you know, who go back and forth. And, you know, yeah, right, he and Adam Grant did work on that, and right, it was in Dan Pink's book, To Sell as Human. And I should ask you what you are, Sue. We didn't get a chance to talk about that at all before. have you put yourself in a category?
It'll soon become obvious, I'm sure, but I would call myself a classic extrovert, yes.
Oh, okay, great. Well,
yeah,
you've been tapping into your introverted side by listening really well.
Well, actually, that's actually interesting you say that, because one of the reasons why I do this, one of the reasons why I do coaching is because it allows me to, it makes myself listen and curious.
Uh-huh.
And it's a part of me I like, but I want to put myself in a position to be able to do it, so I picked a profession that made me do it. So
That's excellent.
So but I guess you could say I'm a classic woo. I tend to like want to you know, sell and sell people on ideas and just curious about what's going to work for people and things like that. So I think you call that the classic coach in some respects. I was an athletics coach for a long time, so
okay.
You know, pretty rah-rah, I would say. So enough about me. So let's talk about extroverts. I guess some of this is obvious, but I want to get your input on why you think that extroverts seem to dominate leadership positions, because it's sort of, you know, a fait accompli, it seems like, but I don't know about that. So what do you think about that?
Oh, they still do. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And they do. And I think it's, you know, the loudest voice in the room gets heard still, unfortunately. And in our culture of selling, and particularly in the Western culture, and I haven't seen it as much in Asia, but I think there is this whole idea that, you know, you have to promote yourself. And so extroverts tend to do that more. They just do in terms of quantity. Mm-hmm. And they don't always, like, what they're talking about isn't always results either, by the way. I mean, but you just, you happen to know more what they're doing. The one turning point for me a few years ago, I was at a session. It was in Europe, and I was at the manager was there. They had brought a lot of the regional managers together in this IT company, and they were mostly actually introverted. And he was explaining about how he had really shifted in terms of how he was looking at selecting people for leadership roles. And he was saying that, unfortunately, he wasn't approving this in himself, but he said because of time and pressures that he tended to respond to the squeaky wheel, the person who was like, talking, communicating with him, you know. And he then realized that he was overlooking people who really were qualified but were quieter. And he said, I just don't have time. He said, I used to be able to research people, but he said, now they have to tell me or I tend to just naturally not respond. And I think, you know, so one of the things that I addressed in this book that we really is very important, and I heard a lot from people who were introvert advocates in their companies, was that they looked at it, A, with interviewing, and B, with promotions, that they actually, in terms of interviewing, they became more introvert friendly. You know, so what do I mean by that? They would actually research the person beforehand and not just like grab the resume at the last minute. You know, they would allow time between interviews. They would pause like you're doing on these calls, you know, to really hear from people so that those people had an equal chance to be considered. And then I heard that what I was really impressed with were the people, I call them introvert champions in their company and advocates, is that they would actually sit in those meetings. You remember the meetings where they're ranking people and they've got, you know, the whole list there. And
Yeah.
What there's a name for it. I mean, or GE, we used
calibration.
To do it.
Yeah,
calibration meeting, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they throw out the files of the people who weren't being considered. Yeah. And so they say, wait a second, you know, just like with gender too, we haven't heard from him a lot in meetings, but, you know, he has been, do you know about what he's working on? I mean, you need to dig a little. He needs to be considered. So without that sponsorship, you know, people just don't get promoted. So I think that's another reason that I think we are seeing changes, but that's why we do have extroverts a lot in those positions. But hopefully it's shifting.
Well, I think it's shifting partly too. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but I mean, because I think diversity of thought and diversity of, you know, the many diversities that we look at is also shifting. I mean, I think we're more open as a society.
I hope so.
Open as in corporate around different aspects of people. Obviously, introversion, extroversion being one of those aspects.
You hope it depends very much on where you work, and I find that's true, and you know, and even in Silicon Valley, it's been an issue, right? Well, there's a lot of introverts working there, so it's probably not as much, you know, in some ways, not as much of a challenge. But I mean, I've worked in Middle America in the last few years, and you know, there was one corporate or Fortune 50 company I worked at where we were almost at the end of, you know, having a small two-hour module on introvert leadership, and it was pulled at the last minute. And this is not unusual because the COO who was, you know, to sign off on it, we had his approval, but he felt like saying introvert was a pejorative word and that we really can't, you know, single out introverts in the company.
Wow.
And so the whole program was shelved. And I've seen that happen numerous times. So I think we really, you know, somebody said to me, it's individuals change quicker. I don't know if you found this too, that, you know, organizations, it's like steering a ship. It takes longer and it's harder to turn the direction of a big ship than it is people. So I think we're seeing individuals be more open, but the traditional companies are cultures, we're still seeing, you know, there's still some work to be done.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits of being an introvert. So talk with us a little bit about that.
Well, there are so many. I mean, where do we start? You know, first of all, I think the fact that introverts take quiet time, and really that's one of the key, just to roll it back just a little bit about, you know, most people know the differences, but I think, again, it doesn't hurt to say it is about energy, right? It's about where do you get your energy from, right? So, you know, introverts get their energy from within and extroverts get it from people. So that solitude that introverts take, you know, the must-have breaks, that's oftentimes how you decide if you are an introvert or an extrovert, right? If you, if you must have that time. The extroverts will say, oh, it's nice to have, but they don't necessarily need it. But that solitude, Sue, is so critical to, you know, we know to creative thought, to deep thought, to, you know, the contributions that people make towards productivity. You know, and there are many examples of, you know, and I think this one is used with Steve Wozniak, who, you know, yeah, he worked in a group, but then he went and developed or created the first Apple alone. You know, it's like people do it alone when you're doing that. And that's why there's kind of a pushback, and I feel this strongly, that we've gone too far in having to have meetings and collaboration and teams all the time. I mean, that's a real strength introverts have, right?
I mean, it's so ingrained in our workforce that meetings is how we do things. And one of the things that we do with design thinking, for example, is when we do brainstorming, we do kind of a combination of to allow for both introversion and extroversion by we do a group brainstorm, but we have people write on sticky notes their ideas so that they don't have to be they don't have to be pressured to say it out loud, and so it allows for both. But you also get the benefit of the group because then you can see what other people are doing. So
absolutely,
I think it's like the best way of doing it because you have both the introverts and extroverts able to be at their best. But we don't, as a general rule, we don't allow for most. You know, it's hard for people to facilitate so that the introverts, the quieter people, are able to say how they feel, and they have to say. I mean, that's part of what a meeting is for. I mean, it's people are talking.
So, well, you've done a great job of that. Even that one change can make a big difference in meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So so the writing, and that's another advantage. I'll just skip to that's one of the things that introverts do really well is write and express their thoughts. So I think that's another strength if we're talking about that. And then I think having a calm, low key, demeanor is. Mm-hmm. Very, very helpful in a group and a team, and people express just solace from being around introverts who are calmer. It just calms everybody down. I remember interviewing a woman in the first book who was a producer in the CNN newsroom near where I live here in Atlanta, and she, so many of the people, I talked to some of her team, and they were all just so in awe of how, you know, the stories would just come in, you know, rapid fire, and she was just so calm the entire time, and they just fed off that. So, you know, and many people will tell you their favorite manager or leader was an introvert just because it kind of got them thinking and just focused. So those are some real, real strengths. There's so many others, you know, humility. We talked about how that can be an issue sometimes when you're not, as they say in the South here, brag on yourself. When you're humble, you can be too humble. But, you know, who wants to keep hearing about how great you are? You know, it's not, you know, as you were saying before, tell me about, enough about me. What else do you want about me, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a legend in my own mind, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. That's really good. Yeah, so those are a couple of the okay. real, I mean, there's so many more strengths, but those are just a few of them that come to mind.
So you probably know, and I know people on the phone probably know that this year we're looking at influence. We always choose a theme, and so that's why we wanted to make sure we had you on because typically people think of influence as people who sell and people who are charismatic and such. And so I'm curious about some examples you can give us about how introverts can be highly effective. So you mentioned the traits, but how can they be as effective or even more effective as influencers than extroverts?
Yeah, and I love that. Was the second question I had after the leadership question. You know, that as I moved, I wrote the book Quiet Influence after that because it was about how introverts can make a difference, exactly the question that you're asking about. And by the way, what I do is I interview people who are deemed successful or at what they do, and they are introverted. So I found, Sue, that there were six key strengths that were used by introverts to do a couple of things. They created change in their organization or in their department or even with themselves. They inspired mm-hmm. others. They provoked new thought, and they even challenged the status quo. And mm-hmm. what they did, there were six reservoirs that they drew from. And one was the one I mentioned earlier. It was taking that quiet time. It's that reflection. So they would come with a plan, you know. And the interesting thing is I was working with some technical STEM women the other day, and they were asking about how you approach people. And, you know, I was talking about how what I noticed with a lot of successful introverted influencers is that they give as much time or focused attention to the preparation of the, considering the interpersonal dimension and the communication style of people mm-hmm. who they're mm-hmm. approaching, as much as really the technical aspects of it. Because we know that's what's so key, right, when you're trying to influence people. Like, how do they like to receive information? You know, are they an introvert or an extrovert? Just having that data is so useful. Haven't you found in trying to make a difference with people?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah,
so the reflecting on that, you know, is really, mm-hmm. really helpful. And that preparation is the second one. That's linked to the quiet time. And so preparing, whether you're preparing for a speech or, you know, for a difficult conversation, you're strategizing. Whereas, you know, people mm-hmm. will say with extroverts, they're really good at winging it. You know, they can be thrown a question and just come up with an answer, right?
But then
you'll think later, oh, that was kind of half-baked. You know, I really should. And I'm hearing from more extroverts saying, you know, I'm taking 10 minutes before a meeting. I'm not scheduling myself so tight that I can't even mm-hmm. think about, well, what's the agenda? What do I want to get out of this? You know, Steve Persani had some great quotes for me, and the CEO I was mentioning earlier about how what he thinks about before a meeting. You know, what can I give? What can I get? You know, if we just run some of those questions in our mind, and I have a lot of those in the new edition. You know, I mentioned like scripts and kind of talking mm-hmm. points, and as the comedians call it, the beats. I like to always use that term, the beat. You know, what are the beats? What do I need to be looking at? So preparation was absolutely critical in every
right.
one of these scenarios. Then the other thing, engaged listening. You referenced listening before, and it really paying attention to what it means to be an active listener. And it's not just a one-way sort of thing either. It's paraphrasing. It's spending the time understanding. Like when they would cut, like there was one guy I remember trying to change a whole process, and he went around to the key stakeholders, you know, and he really he found out what the pain points were, what the resistance was. And he was able to come up with his plan after he did that. So, you know, they very methodically spend the time. It's not like introverted influencers or quiet influencers don't, you know, deal with people, and it's not further from the truth. But one-on-one, you know, focused conversations, truly listening to people, truly not being afraid to hear that resistance, and so they're not blindsided when they go in the meeting, you know,
mm-hmm,
that they've been
mm-hmm.
able to sort of work that out and address those objections. Those are critical. And then having these focused conversations was the fourth strength that they used a lot. So it's the back and forth. So once you've been listening, then it's sort of, okay, let me, if you were talking about selling, or let me, I have to start persuading, I have to start making a case for the benefits. And so, you know, not because you can do too much of any of these strengths, like I mentioned. We all know people that are fabulous listeners, but then they don't move it forward. They don't push the ball down the field, to use a sports mm-hmm. analogy, you know. It just stays mm-hmm. right there. So we want to look at how do we actually then move that case or that project or that idea forward. And like I'm working on something right now with a summit that we're planning, and we are having to have a lot of negotiation around what this is going to look like with one of our sponsors. We've done a lot of listening. We've done the preparation. Now we're just back and forth, and we're going to have I'm really confident we're going to have a positive result, but it's taking a lot of like listening and going back and forth and kind of parsing out, you know, where can we give in, where can they give us. It's all negotiation right now. But we have to not be afraid to do that, and you know, and that can bring up conflict as well.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah.
So then,
is there any?
Yeah, go on. I'm
sorry. Ask a question. Yeah, is there any
sure.
evidence or research even on the idea that an introvert may be able to negotiate better because they are able to see the landscape and be more calm to see the landscape better? Is that something that's correlated?
Well, you know, we're now just getting some really great data coming in. studies are starting to come in more and more now. It's the field is still so new. So I'm not aware of anything specifically about, you know, whether that's true. And I would say anecdotally that probably is true in some, you know, I've noticed that a lot. But the other question that always I thought you were going to ask that a lot of people ask is there any evidence that introverts are more conflict avoidant? And I would say anecdotally I have found that to be true. And I'm not saying that the extroverts are any better at handling it, for sure. But they seem to be a little more, they have a little more bravado when they go in and start these conversations that may be ones of conflict. And I think it just, you know, we get reinforced by positive results. And when we have had been shut down with conflict or we haven't really known how to navigate with it, both extrovert and introvert, then we all avoid it, I think, don't you? Don't you think it's one of the big bugaboos that people are afraid to deal with conflict or we all kind of run from it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, so we don't want to talk about it, right?
So what about, you said there's a sixth thing. I interrupted you there.
No, you didn't interrupt me. Fourth, and by the way, that's kind of, as an aside, it's kind of funny. We're both extroverts, right? So we don't even think about being interrupted. I mean, it doesn't bother us, right? I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but a lot of introverts will say, I don't want to interrupt an extrovert, but, you know, and I say to them, you know what, they're not even aware of what they're doing half the time. I mean, they're like, so that's how they talk to each other, right?
Right.
Is interrupt. You see women, a lot of us women, my friends do that. We interrupt each other, but it's probably not the best thing. So focused conversation, I talk about engaged listening. Then there's two more areas where I have, you know, I had hunches about this, but it came up all the time in my interviews, and that was about writing. That you know, introverts do love to express themselves by the written through the written word, and to get clear about where they stand on an issue or take a position. And you'll see people writing those even when they're writing an email. Sometimes they're getting clear right as they're doing that. And then the second thing is to influence people through writing. You know, persuasive papers. In fact, most reporters who and you may have found this too. Tend to be more introverted. I mean, they'll do anything but talk to me on the phone. But I mean, that's kind of changed too. Most people do work through email and text and everything. But I think writing tends to be a real sweet spot. And so, you know, you can. It's a good way to tell whether somebody's more introverted too. By the way, if you notice, you get a very well thought out, well constructed email with some logic to it. Typically the person, or you have a good clue there that the person is more introverted, so it may help you with that. So they pay attention to the details. They tend to know and adapt to the audience when they write for influence and do that and pay attention to the tone. They spend the time. And so I think that is a really important strength. And you're talking about strengths that introverts bring to the influencing equation.
Right. Okay, gotcha. And is there a sixth one, or like, do we get all of this?
Yeah, there is a sixth one.
Okay.
And that is, and that comes up a lot. That's the social media component. And so how do, and this I've seen a change over the last few years. I mean, what I noticed, and I continue to, is with introverted leaders and influencers, is that they tend to use social media more thoughtfully. So they have a purpose. You know, they have a purpose. They might have a platform that they decide that, you know, that's where they're going to go to whatever their strategy or their message is. They're not just, like, posting randomly all the time. There's a plan. And it's also a wonderful way for them to influence, because I think it's been a real positive as far as networking goes, you know, as far as, you know, connecting with people, not having necessarily talk and meet for coffee. You don't have to do that as much. And it's also a really strong way to get your branding out there, your personal branding, because let's say you're on LinkedIn and you're sharing content. You can become sort of a curator of good content, and then you can be known as somebody who is sifting through articles and content to share with your community. And you can start commenting and take a point of view, whether you decide to do, you know, video or blog or whatever. You have opportunities in social media that you didn't before. And it's interesting that a lot of introverts I know are on social media. You wouldn't think that they would be. They don't tend to love Facebook a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, LinkedIn and Twitter is a definitely
right.
place.
Well,
Instagram,
right.
yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So this is great. This is great stuff to chew on here. Let's open it up to the folks on the phone. If you'd like to ask a question, comment, or tell a story, you know, have at it. So who would like to start? Please say your name first and then
Hello?
Your question. Hi.
Hi. This is Jim Knickerbocker. I haven't been on Wise Talk for a while, but it's good
Jim.
To be back.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Jim.
Calling from Denver, Colorado. And as a good introvert, I was very carefully trying to track your six reservoirs, and I only got five, so I think I missed one. I got quiet time for reflection, engaged active listening, focused conversations, expressing themselves well in writing, and using social media. But somewhere there was one that got morphed in with another one, I guess.
You're right, and I actually did morph it, Jim, into it as I was discussing it, and it really should have been a standalone. And that's preparation. That came after taking quiet time. Yeah, I kind of molded those together. But taking quiet time is the reflection and the walking and the kind of getting away from it, taking the break that, you know, Daniel Pink's writing about that now,
mm-hmm.
like getting away from life. And then, okay, now I start to prepare my strategy.
Got it. Thank you. You can always count on the introverts to be tracking these little details.
Thank you so much. You know, and exactly. And that's. Do any of those particular ones resonate with you as an introvert, or one that you know is a sweet one for you, a sweet spot?
Oh, I resonated with all of them, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, my son is an introvert, and he's not feeling as good about it as I do. And so I've been
mm-hmm.
trying to encourage him that he really does have some advantages as far as he is a great listener and he does
mm-hmm.
write well and he does use social media. In fact, he got hired to be a social media guy. So I'm trying to convince him that he does have some advantages that you know, the extroverts get all the attention, and so it's easy for introverts to feel bad about themselves. So I really appreciate your work to try to help people to see the quiet strengths they have.
Oh, well, thank you, and I hope you can, you know, share some of the content with him and send him to my website. There's a lot of articles there. If you want to get that Quiet Influence book, it may be very helpful to him to see real people who have, you know, had success with this. There are a lot of cases in there, too.
Absolutely.
So good luck
Thanks
with that.
So
thank you for
yeah,
your
thank
calling.
You.
Thank you for your comment.
Sure.
Thanks, Jim. Who else would like to speak up and ask a question or make a comment?
You know, as people are calling in, Sue, it's funny. I had a extroverts are showing more of an interest. I think I mentioned that earlier in this whole topic. You know, I've talked to some of my other introverted speakers and authors who said they're seeing the same thing, because I think there's a, you know, such an overload in our world right now that people are tapping into that side of themselves. But I had one extrovert in a class a few months ago who said to me, I thought this was great. She said, so what I do is I have to pause. That's a big thing. Costello said, well, what do I do? Is you need to pause and let people speak, you know, if they want to, give them the space. And she said she now lets in a meeting or a conference call, she will wait for three people to speak before she chimes in. And she said it's really hard, but it's been really helpful to have that discipline. So I was just thinking about that when we were being quiet.
That's great. I mean, that's a great way of
little tips.
Yeah, little tips in
yeah.
terms of like same idea if you know, you're an introvert and don't and want to speak up, be the first to speak, and if you're an extrovert, let other people speak first, you know. Definitely.
Yeah, and be the friend, and I think the first 5 minute rule was something I kept
yes.
in the book from last time, right? That people said if you do it early then it's less daunting as the
yes.
meeting goes on, right?
Yes.
Just say
definitely.
Something. Plan your comment beforehand, right? Or ask a
yes.
question so that you get that anxiety can go away.
Definitely.
Hey, Sue, this is Bayarka Lewis.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm really appreciating this conversation, and I have two questions. One is for those of us who are pretty equally blended in terms of extroversion, introversion,
mm-hmm.
How to really leverage the introversion more effectively and not just within ourselves get overridden by extroversion. So there's the internal override. And then the second question is kind of the opposite. There are times when introverts are looking for how they can show up more effectively, and it would maybe look like extroversion, but mm-hmm. they want to be authentic to themselves and still be able to speak up, be able to butt in if they have to, like really move forward. And so I'm curious if there are any suggestions on either of those.
Great suggestions.
That's a great question.
Thanks. Thank you. So, I think in terms of, as I was hearing it, how do we leverage the introversion within us? How do we bring that out more? And I think it's, first of all, it's just being aware that we do have those traits within us, and it's stopping. I think pausing and taking, not over-scheduling ourselves, being able to start saying no. I mean, extroverts get very enthusiastic, it seems like, and I can speak to this as well, and we want to be involved in this and that, and just looking at how we're filling up our days, you know, being more just planful about that. Are we allowing space for our life to happen, to be present? And I think just asking those questions will help us to start giving ourselves the beauty of breaks and time. Because we just, and getting out of our surroundings, going to nature, whatever it takes, you know, to build in quiet time. I think that's, you know, just being aware of that is important. And sometimes we have to force it, like Sue, you were saying about how you do these, you structure these calls so that you can actually tap into that part of yourself, right, to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I think, you know, just building in the space to do that and having a plan is very, very helpful. And then how do introverts show up? You know, one of the tools that I learned years ago that has been useful in coaching introverted leaders has been something called the perception gap. And it's just really being aware of what is my intention and then what people are seeing. And what I try to ask people about is what are the behaviors that you can add to your repertoire that will make people more comfortable and kind of manage that perception. So, for instance, I had a client who was never smiling. I mean, she just didn't realize how much she was in her head. But when I went to observe her, I could see her face didn't have much affect. And so I think it was really making the extroverts uncomfortable, you know, because they're looking for what I call that facial gymnastics. They're looking for something to come out, and then they start revving it up more, trying to get a rise out of the introvert. So what she started doing was just adding a smile or in some eye contact, you know. And she said that was all she changed, and she saw a difference in the reception of people. So it's not like you're smiling all the time. I'm not suggesting you do that. But I think just like we as extroverts need to damp it down and be quiet and pause, you know, introverts introverts actually learn to do this themselves. But I think it's just, again, being aware of what are you showing up as. I love how you said that.
Well, I think I want to add to that in that it's a great question, because it isn't that you want introverts to necessarily show up like an extrovert. See, this is an interesting I had never thought of it exactly like this. Sort of like trying to, you know, have a woman show up like a man, and that's the way they're going to get ahead in the world. It's a similar kind of perception in a way. You know, can an introvert lean in and in a way that extroverts can accept? I mean, that's and be okay with, because they're going to lean in differently, or they're going to show up differently, but still get their point across. I mean, obviously we're still in meetings, so maybe they're going to need to get their point across in writing first, and then they present it. And I mean, there's so many different ways to do this, but I think that this is. A lot of us want to say, like, how do we help introverts? How do we help introverts show up? But it's also helping extroverts show up differently too.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
And part of where that happens well, I see that happening well in organizations, too, is when the conversation starts getting out there talking, when we talk about it, just like with the Me Too. I mean, it's been the elephant in the room, you know. It's like people will get snubbed. I was talking about the double whammy with women, you know, that I had several women have said, you know, well, I'm considered snobby or because I don't want to go out with the team. And so, you know, talking about that and saying, look, for me to be effective, to me to have all my juices, for you to get the most out of me, I need time alone at lunch. You know, I can't go out every day, you know. It's just saying that's me. And then it seems like when we talk about it, things get better. It just does. And so sometimes what introverts or extroverts, we need to bring the conversation up and just talk about it. And I think that's, it's usually, it's not that big a deal. But we tend to kind of tiptoe around it. And I found that with the partners that I interviewed for The Genius of Opposites, which was the last book about how do we make these pairs work together and get results, is a lot of them did that. They weren't even aware that they were doing it, but they would kid each other about it and say, oh, you need your alone time now, or you need to just talk this out. Okay, I'm going to listen, or I'm just going to check my phone while you talk. You know, they kid about it. But they understand those are those personality differences, and they're not just sort of trying to, hide it under the carpet.
Great. Any follow-up, Beata, at all?
The question of really being able to be authentic and showing up more is I think it has some more dimensions because I'm assuming that introverts also have an extroversion in themselves too. So sort of like we all have masculine and feminine. So I'm really looking as a coach how to better elicit something that is innate for them instead of having it feel like they're having to put on something.
Yeah,
right.
On their armor.
Right.
Yeah. How do you bring it out from them instead of having to have them having to put armor on or something? Yeah.
And I think it's situational. So when I work with my clients, it's like, where's the pain point? So to build on what you were saying, Sue, is if it's networking, it's sort of like, how can I prepare my questions, because preparation for me is going to make me more confident and make it a more productive meeting. How can I have some questions? How can I do a little research on the person so that I'm confident when I go into that session and I can be myself instead of trying to be someone else? So it's always bringing in that strength into the scary scenario. And I think that, to me, is what I've seen what introverts have done really well. And that's when they can shine, because some people are like, wow, you had the best questions. You were the most fabulous listener. Well, it's because they use their strengths to do that.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming forth with your questions and comments. I think that the last question has to do with how can an extrovert become a better leader of introverts?
Well, I kind of I always smile when I hear that question, because we just basically have to stop talking. I mean, that's really the answer, isn't it? It's letting people. It's one of the things. I'm not going to say it's the only thing, but pausing and being comfortable with silence is, I think, probably the greatest thing that that extroverts can do. And in fact, in that case, there is research to back that up. The person I mentioned earlier, Adam Grant, who many people know is a best-selling author and Harvard and Wharton professor, did a study with his colleagues Francesca Gino and David, I can't remember David's last name, from Pennsylvania, from Wharton. And they did it, and it was published in the Academy of Management, and what it looked at was, who makes the best leaders for extroverts. And this was a little different than what you're saying, but it really did show that introverted leaders, the strength that they bring is that they listen. And so extroverts, when they bring that to the table, it allows, the ideas to surface. They're not directing. They're really just really more the conduit and the sounding boards and the coaches that allow people to shine. So I think that's a huge thing. It's also being aware as an extrovert. Once extroverted leaders are aware of what introversion is about and the qualities that and the strengths of the folks who are on their team, they can then just play to those strengths. So since I give an example of you want a task to be done by an introvert, and then you just throw it to them and just ask for their ideas and brainstorm verbally is probably not the best way. But giving them a heads up, writing them an email, dropping them a text saying, just could you think about this, and you're going to get so much better output.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt about that. So once extroverts learn about that and understand how to flex, it's like learning that language. They then can, just as they do with every one of the people on their team, is to, you know, adjust and calibrate to the needs of the person in terms of their motivation and their style. So I think that is where I've seen tremendous success, and that's where, you know, people will say, that's a great leader, for somebody who really, who gets me and knows how to bring out my best and respects me and doesn't try to change me. When extroverts don't have that, have that model or have that knowledge, then they do tend to derail, and they're frustrated as well. Because I use the example of them, they just rev it up more, you know. They just, mm-hmm. I remember when I first started speaking, Sue, and I was in front of an audience, and I mentioned I worked with a lot of introverts, and then, you know, the more questions I would ask, I would just get crickets, nothing. And so what did I do? I rev it up more, you know. I talk more, and I get more questions and just, like, throw it out there. You know, because I went into my strength, but it was not a strength. The overuse of a strength is a weakness, right?
Right.
And so it just was didn't work. Let's put it that way. It didn't work. But when I learned to stop and to, you know, slow down and to kind of go with the rhythm of the group, that's when people started to engage. When I learned that, you know, for instance, it really is helpful to break people up into groups one-on-one to get them to talk and to engage and then bring it back. Not everything has to be done in a large group. All of those things that I know that tend to be more aligned with the introvert sensibility, I could then incorporate as an extrovert. And I believe it made me more effective. And I think that all extroverts can learn that. And the cool thing was, as I've been in this work, you know, it's helped me develop as a person. So I no longer consider myself the flaming extrovert that I used to be.
That's awesome. Okay, I love the answer. Well, thank you, Jennifer, again, for being with us and helping us kind of wade through these issues around introverts and extroverts. And got a lot of good things to reflect on and to apply. And, again, you can go to Jennifer's website. It's Jennifer Kahnweiler, KAHNWEILER.com. And you can get her on Twitter at Jen with two N's, Kahnweiler. I want to also remind people of our next Wise Talk. That's on Friday, April 27th at 11 a.m. Pacific. Another Friday call. I think we're starting to do more Friday calls. I think people are more relaxed. Friday, so that they can join us.
Glass of wine, you know, why not?
Yeah, well, we've screwed it with this 15 years, and we kind of go back and forth, but Thursdays and Fridays are new, better days. We're with Phil Jones. He's the author of Exactly What to Say, The Magic Words for Influence and Impact. So we hope you can join us then. Again, Jennifer, thank you so much. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and we'll get the White Talk on the website, and I hope that you all can share that with your friends and colleagues, both introverted and extroverted. And I also hope that everybody gets a chance to have a nice spring break, if it's next week or the week after. Take some time to relax, and we'll see you in April. Thanks, everybody. Bye now.
Thank you, Sue.